it is, as I mentioned in the prayer, we are on that end of the church year. And as we get to the end of the church year, we're looking at what Jesus had to say to his disciples as he turned in his ministry toward the cross. He was teaching them all about what it was to be a disciple, and then he started a different direction. He starts to head towards the cross, and he starts to teach them about what's going to happen in the end times. What's going to happen as he, thank you, as they go through his betrayal and his death, his resurrection, all these things. He's preparing his disciples, the people who are closest to him, and he's telling them important things. So we're in our part of the series called End Times, and we had one was last week, you know, what do you do with your time? This week, it's eternal investments. We're going to be talking about time, talents, and treasures. Those are the three things the Lord seems to spend a lot of time talking with his disciples as he prepares them for the end of his ministry on earth. 1 Thessalonians 5 that I just read to you, I want to just highlight a few things. While people are saying there is peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. If I were to title this sermon just by itself, I would say, is this all there is? Because when you talk to people, when you hear what people have to say and where their priorities are, you might get the impression that people think that this life is all there is. That this is it. Isn't that depressing? Don't you think that's depressing? Yet there are people that you know, that you're walking around with, that you're working with, that you're doing other things with, that honestly believe that this is it. Seriously. And so they're fixated on the things around them, on the world around them. They're fixated on all the things of this world. And, you know, it's funny because they can get pretty preoccupied with the things of this world. And because they don't have an eternal perspective, it's almost depressing. Because I'll tell you something, if this is all there is, it's depressing. It is. Because for us and for Emma, who all of heaven is rejoicing over because she's been marked with Christ's cross, for her, God has promised. Now, she can always walk away from it. It doesn't say people can't jump out of his hands. It just says no one can take him out of his hands. But it doesn't mean you can't jump out if you want to, okay? But as long as she remains faithful, when Satan and her sinful nature come to her and say, you really don't make the grade, all she can say is, I am marked by the cross of Christ. I am redeemed by Jesus Christ. I was baptized, and I know to whom I belong. I know where my citizenship is. I'm not just a citizen of the United States of America. I'm a citizen of heaven. Isn't that awesome? I mean, what a wonderful gift. And I loved it because Christopher and David were pointing out that she didn't know what she was doing. That was very good. I'm very thankful they said that. Because you know what? When it comes down to faith, do we really ever know what we're doing? I had the privilege of speaking at Concordia this Tuesday, and I had this text that was given to me, and it was, they're doing one on nurturing one another or encouraging one another, and they had all the equals. And I ended up with equally sinful. Now, I don't know if you know this, but people don't like to think of themselves as sinful. And so the passage I had was from Romans where it said, for all have sinned. And I don't know, but it seems like, there's a lot more to those verses than that. But that seems to be where people stop. I have known people, whether it was in the Legion or Rotary or before that, the Kinsmen or whatever group I was in, it was the military, whatever. I have met people who really don't like that. They don't like the Apostle Paul because they don't like what he has to say when he says, for there is no distinction, for all have sinned. Because they don't like to see themselves as sinners. Right? And so they make excuses. They try to cover it up. They try to ignore it. Or they try to blame someone else. Or best of all, which I really like, is try to find someone worse than them. You can easily do that, right? So, if this is all there is, that's all they got. And it was so obvious, as I was going through and explaining why people don't like that passage, for all have sinned, I had to point out at the end that it's for all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God. Isn't it great that we don't have to compare ourselves to one another? Who do we compare ourselves to? God. And so when we have an eternal perspective, when we see ourselves in the right place, the right time, when we see who we are as children of the living God, when we recognize who we are, that we come to faith like Emma, where we don't really know what's going on, there's this strange guy with a very high voice holding me. And he isn't my dad. And he's putting water on me. You know, that's the way we come to faith a lot of times, right? We don't know. We think we're so smart, but what does the Bible say about our smarts? How does it compare with God? Yeah. My thoughts are not your thoughts. Your thoughts are so much higher than my thoughts, right? When you try to compare our wisdom to God's wisdom, it's trying like putting the Pacific Ocean into a cup. Really fail miserably, don't we? So I think that's really interesting that Paul decides to say, well, people are saying there's peace and security, then sudden destruction will come upon them as labor pains come upon a pregnant woman, and they will not escape. But you he basically says, for be fully aware that the day of the Lord will come like a thief in the night. And that's because if you have a worldly perspective, if all that you see is this, then you are going to be shocked when it comes to an end. And if all you are yearning for is peace and security here, are you going to be sadly disappointed? Yeah. It's not what, I would love it if we had that promise of peace and security here. We have a promise the Lord is always going to be with us no matter where we are, right? We have a promise that he can give us a peace that the world will never understand. But for us to have peace and security here and to have that worldview that is just looking at the here and now, man, we're going to be disappointed. Because what St. Paul tells the Thessalonians, he says, for you are all children of light, children of the day. We are not of the night or of the darkness. And what that means is that we're not led to looking at things the way the world looks at things. And I want to just talk briefly about the gospel lesson, because how many of you know, when you have a gospel lesson where you just cringe at the end when you say, this is the gospel of the Lord, and you're going, it didn't sound like it. Did that sound like the end of the gospel sound like a really good news story? Remember what the gospel was? Go there. Look at the end of the gospel. And cast the worthless servant into the outer darkness. In that place there will be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Does that sound like good news to you? Didn't sound like good news to me. And I guess the Lord wanted the people who were around him, the disciples, to know that if you have a worldly perspective, you're going to be like the one who didn't do anything with the talents that they were given, but put them in the ground because they thought that was the best security. Right? Because they didn't have eternal perspective. They didn't see the eternal perspective. They were what you would define as people who are carpe diem. You know what carpe diem? Who seize the day, right? They seize the day. But you know, as Christians, we're told that we're not only supposed to seize the day, we should be great examples of that, but we're supposed to carpe mañana. You know what that means? Seize tomorrow. Because when you have an eternal perspective, is this all there is? No. This is just the beginning. It's just the beginning. There's so much more. And so I like to look at that. I'm going to close with the parable because I don't have much time. But I want to look at the parable because I think that oftentimes we miss the point of this parable. First of all, it starts out with this ruler who's going to go away for a while, and he brings his servants to him, and he gives each according to their ability, right? How many of us understand that? Isn't that awesome? Number one, he's giving them something that they don't deserve or haven't earned, right? It's a gift. And number two, he's giving it according to their ability. He's not going to say to someone, well, you better do this, when he knows they don't have the capability to do it. And so he gives to the first one, how many talents? Do you remember? Five. To the first one, he gives five. You know what a talent is? I put it in here. A talent was a monetary unit worth about 20 years' wages for a laborer. So I want to get my engineering mathematician people here to help me with this. So if the average pay, now I know this isn't correct, but if the average pay was, say, $50,000 a year, okay, and you were given 20 years worth of $50,000, what would that be? $1 million. And if you're giving five of those, how much would that be? Boy, you guys are good. Must have watched Sesame Street or something. Okay, so one guy is entrusted with $5 million, okay? And the next guy is entrusted with how many? $2 million. And the guy who, you know, sometimes we feel sorry for because he only got one, how much did he get? $1 million. Doesn't this sound like, I wouldn't mind $1 million. Any of you want to give, you know. That doesn't sound like such a bad amount of money, right? He's given 20 years worth of wages for a laborer. Just think about that. He's given that much money as a gift. He's only given one. But the difference between him and the other two, the one who received $1 million versus the one who received five and who received two, is that they understand that the master wants the long view, right? He wants the long perspective. He wants it to be risked. He wants it to be invested. He wants it to be traded. He has a long view, right? He has an eternal perspective. And the problem isn't that this guy went and put the money in the ground. I mean, that is a problem, but really it's his view, his perspective. Because it's interesting, when the master comes back, he says to the first one, brings the five talents, he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little." Now, I kind of laughed at that because I thought $5 million isn't a little. But anyways, maybe from his perspective, it was. "Been faithful with a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also said to the one who had two talents, who said, "I have got two more." He says, "Well done, good and faithful servant. You have been faithful over a little, I will set you over much. Enter into the joy of your master." And he also had received the one talent, came forward saying, "Master, I know you are a hard man, reaping where you do not sow and gathering where you scatter no seed. So I was afraid, and I went and hid your talent in the ground. Here you have what is yours." Now, this is what I want to just kind of focus in on a little bit before we close. That's a worldly perspective. That's a perspective that doesn't have eternity in view, right? That's a carpe diem perspective, not a carpe manana. It's a perspective that just looks at, how can I be secure here and now? I want to tell you a little story. There's a place called Maple Creek, Saskatchewan. I know you're all going to want to drive there after I tell you this. During the banking crisis in the 30s, the people of Maple Creek, who were very wealthy because there was oil and coal and all kinds of things in that area, big, big, very rich area, they decided that the best thing would be to bury their money when the bank started to go through their, you know, bank runs and stuff like that. And people, even to this day, go there trying to find the money that's buried, because they thought this was secure. They thought that this was, you know, and how, it's just funny when you think about it, how short-sighted, right? How short-sighted. And yet that's the problem with the servant. Isn't that he, you know, I mean, it sounds like Jesus is being so judgmental of him and being so hard on him, the master is being so hard on him, but it's because he's disappointed. I hope when I read it the first time you got that out of there. It's not that he's angry, he's disappointed. Because if he really knew him, he wouldn't have that perspective that he has of him, number one. But also he would understand that he wanted him to have a long view, an eternal view, not a view that just is the here and now. This is all there is. So he says, "You wicked and slothful servant, you knew that I reap where I have not sown and gather where I scatter no seed. Then you ought to have invested my money with the bankers. And at my coming, I should have received what was my own with interest." So then he takes the talent from him and gives it to the one who has 10 talents. "For to everyone who has, more will be given, and he will have an abundance. For the one who has not, even that will be taken away." And what he's doing there is he's reminding us that if you only have this world to live in, if this is all there is, if this is your view, this is your world view, then you're going to lose it all, because the world is coming to an end. And it's and that's just sad. I feel sorry for the guy, because he could have had so much more. And why did Jesus give it to the person who had everything? Because he had an eternal, he understood eternal investments. He had an eternal worldview. He had an eternal perspective. And he knew he would use it for his glory. Brothers and sisters, everything we have, our time, talents, treasures, are to be used for the glory of God, right? That's what he put us here. So that, and I want to close with the words that St. Paul closes with when he says to the Thessalonians at the end of our New Testament lesson, he says this. He says, "For God has not destined us for wrath, but to obtain salvation through our Lord Jesus Christ, who died for us so that whether we are awake or asleep, we might live with him. Therefore, encourage one another and build one another up, just as you are doing." But says, that's what we're here for, right? Because how many of us find it easy every once in a while get into a rut of having a worldview that's just the day? How many of us find it easy to do that? Especially when we're going through? I do. So he says, St. Paul says, encourage one another, build one another up, just as you are doing, so that you know this is not just all there is. Encourage one another and build one another up just as you are doing, because you know that we have an eternal perspective. You know that we have a place in heaven. You know that in John 14, Jesus said, "I've gone to prepare a place for you. And when I come back, I'll take you to be with you, with me forever." That's the promise we have. So let us keep our eyes and keep our focus on an eternal perspective, so that we may not just be people who say, "Carpe diem," seize the day, but that we would go seize tomorrow and tomorrow and tomorrow, because for us, this is only the beginning and not the end, for we have eternity. Amen. Let us pray. Lord Jesus, we thank you again for this time that you've given to us. We thank you, Lord, for all the wonderful blessings you give to us as a family. We thank you for Emma being part of our family and for welcoming her this day. And we pray, oh Lord, that you would remind us that you call all people to yourself. You desperately want us to know that we have eternity with you. That's the gift that you give to us. We don't have to take it. We can walk away. We can desire to be like that bondservant or the servant who bury the gift. But Lord, you invite us to take risks, to move forward, to know that you have not only given us today, but tomorrow and forever. So Lord, help us to have an eternal perspective. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. All right. Announce.